And I, who consider myself in general to be somewhat stoic when hearing exciting news, I began to cry like a baby, and I ran out of the room, and I was shocked and bewildered by my reaction, which should have been a rikud, a niggun, something, just simcha. And I thought about this for a long time, and I realized that only at that moment did I admit to myself how much this person's emptiness was hurting me, and how terrible I felt for her loneliness and for her frustration and embarrassment. It was something that I hadn't revealed to my consciousness until that moment. But when that Mazel Tov came, it dawned upon me how horrible those years must have been. And since that time, I'm conscious, or more conscious of this, certainly not as much as I should be. In order to be able to relate to a couple who has not yet been blessed with this bracha of Puruvu, who might never experience that blessing, in order to react, to respond, and there's been some wonderful advice, we have to know, firstly, we have to understand, through the eyes of the Torah, the shayrish, the root of this heartache, of this unique type of heartache that's experienced as a result of barrenness. And only through understanding the unique nature of that pain is it possible to advise family members, members of a kehila, co-workers in an office. Many mistakes are made by individuals with their best intentions. I was at a shiva call, lo aleinu, recently, where a young wife had tragically passed away. And somebody came to shiva and said, listen, it was the second day of shiva, listen, you're young, don't worry, we'll find you somebody nice. And I was worried that the house was going to be swallowed up. And I couldn't believe that such a statement was made. And I have no doubt at all that very sweet Jew meant to say something, to give chizuk, but like many people, like all of us, was lost and didn't know what to do and fumbled about and came up with something that was the antithesis of anything that should have been suggested, and silence would have been infinitely, infinitely wiser. So mistakes are made by people who want to help and want to say the right thing, but don't know what to say. They don't understand the ke'ev lev. They don't understand the pain and the heartache. And mimela, the result of that is that these mistakes are going to invariably take place. So that's the first thing we need to understand, and I'll address that in a moment. The second thing we have to understand is bichlal, why are we supposed to have children? What is the meaning of this race to have more kids and to spend the rest of the time complaining about them? What's the tachlis? I mean, what is this? What's this all about? And only if one understands that properly will we understand the nature, the status of the couple that was not blessed in that way. So let's begin. I'm not sure what the time limit is here. So if anybody, I'm certainly not insulted. It's not going to go through the night or anything like that. But I'm not insulted if you have to go. I understand. If you just leave two or three, it's fine. But don't feel at all embarrassed to walk out. It's a very big inyan. The birth of Yosef HaTzadik. V'tahar v'taylid ben v'taymer osav l'kim ischer posi. So Rochel Imenu had a child, and when she had the child, she said, osav l'kim ischer posi, that Hashem has gathered in my disgrace. Now that I have a child, Hashem has taken away my humiliation and my disgrace. Rashi says, Shehayisi l'cherpo shani akara. I was humiliated because I was barren. And the word on the street was, what people were saying was that I'm going to end up in the lot of Esav HaRosh. This is hard to understand. Why is it that Rochel Imenu felt a disgrace that in her eyes caused her to resemble or be worthy of a comparison to the Rosh to Esav? We know this fear was something that haunted Rochel Imenu from the time that she couldn't conceive, and it became unbearable to her. And it says in the Pasuk, Vatere Rochel ki lo yolda li Yaakov. Rochel saw she was unable to conceive through Yaakov. And Vatikone Rochel b'achayse v'taymer el Yaakov hoveli bonim. This is one of the most painful psukim in the whole Tanakh, and the most misunderstood. But Rochel Imenu says to Yaakov, and we can't imagine the emotions that were invested in these words, Havali banim, give me children, v'ma'ayin mesa anoichi. Literally, listen to what it literally means. If you are not helping me, if we don't bring children into the world, and if nothing, v'ma'ayin, and if nothing, mesa anoichi, I die. That's the simple translation. If nothing, if there will be no children, I die. This statement, if I have no children to fill the emptiness, I am dead. This isn't a threat. Rochel Imenu was not contemplating suicide, Chalila. If we don't have children, if I do not become pregnant, I'm going to die. This is not a threat. It is a description of the feelings of a barren woman, of every single barren woman. One word, nothing. I am nothing. A girl was mentioned before by one of the wonderful members of the panel, much more so than any man. From the time that a woman was a little child, a little girl, there was a dream. I see it every time when my little one plays doll with dolls, plays house, plays mommy, plays Mora. I see it every minute. When the boys are out there making believe they're in a car accident or something, or hitting a home run, the girl's playing mommy. This is a dream that becomes possible and is often taken for granted as the day of the chuppah arrives. To be barren means to confront the death of that dream. It means to admit to oneself that all that I've dreamt of, and all that I've hoped for, and all that I've waited for, has died. And Rashi himself, as you all know, and it's a Rashi that anybody who struggles with infertility wishes was not there. But from Chazal, Mikan l'misha ein loy bonim shechoshuv kemeis. From here we learn that one who is not able to have children is choshuv kemeis, is considered dead. This is not a statement of halacha. This is a description of one's feelings. The feelings of Rochel Imenu, if nothing, I die. Of the unbearable emptiness. and the death of those dreams. Why is it, though, it's hard to understand, and please, I don't normally like to talk so far away from Jews, so please listen closely. Why would one feel like an Esav HaRasha? Now I'm somebody who deserves an Esav. I'm somebody who's worthy of Esav. I'm unworthy of Yaakov Avinu. If I can't have a child. Vayikra ha'adam is ishtay chava ki hi ha'isa em kol chai. And Adam HaRishon called his wife Chava because she's the mother of all life. This means that the very essence of a woman, what's woven into the fabric of her being, is that quality of motherness, of being a mother. Man is not called the Av Kol Chai, the father of life. But the woman is called the Em Kol Chai. Av Marvina would only become an Av Hamayin Goyim, and the letter would be added to his name later on. But Chava, the woman from the beginning of her existence, is the Ein Kol Chai, is the mother of all life. How did you know? Because every woman is the mother of life. Let me read to you a sentence by an extraordinary thinker and an extraordinary Jew, who was very often misunderstood, as is the case of most great Jews. The simple people are very easily understood. Somebody who I was privileged to study under, Rabbi Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And by the way, this was written in English, and it's not bad for somebody who spent his formative years far away from America. In the natural community, the woman is more concerned with motherhood than the man with fatherhood. The 9 months of pregnancy, the birth of the child with pain and suffering, the nursing of the baby, and later the caretaking of and attending to the youngster, all form part of the motherhood experience. In a word, the woman is bound up with the child, and she experiences her motherhood role in all her thought and feeling. The father, if he wants, can deny his fatherhood and forego responsibility. There are some who just disappear. There are others who live under the same roof. And being a father is a burden which is manifested in a general relationship of detachment with children. God forbid. Fatherhood implies nothing tangible and memorable. The experience of becoming a father. I have a horrible personal thing to share with you, that when my second daughter was born, so I was waiting outside the delivery room, and for some reason they brought her out to me before she was sort of cleaned up and taken care of. I don't know why that happened. Because most fathers like to receive the baby already finished. But I guess they were worried that I was too excited to wait. And they brought out this very messy little package. And I promptly asked them to please take her and clean her up and then bring her back. A mother doesn't do that. The mother suffers, the mother delivers, the mother nurtures, raises, the mother mothers. So Rabbi Yosher Ben is explaining that the woman, in the very mahus, in the very essence of her being, experiences the amhus, that quality of being a mother. It defines her existence. This is what the woman feels. She is Chava because she's the Em Kol Chai. She's the mother of life. So Rachel Imenu says, "V'im ayin meisa anaychi." If I don't have a child, I die. I'm dead. I'm as good as dead. There is no point to my existence. Chalila. a man, even someone who's sensitive, even someone who's brilliant, can never, ever, ever, the most sensitive man in the world, can empathize, can sympathize, but can never, ever experience that emptiness on that level. Neither can a woman who has children. So we can understand the cherpa, the humiliation that Rachel Imenu expressed, also for Lukimis cherpasi. Hashem has gathered in my humiliation. The Netziv writes on that pasuk, Lefi apshat, listen carefully. The simple meaning of this cherpa, of this humiliation is, Kol Bria Shalai Higila Tachlisai, anything that was created and it doesn't reach its fulfillment, its tachlis, Hare Choser Yivienu, it means it's choser. It's missing something. There's a deficiency. The cherpahi, where there's something missing, if I didn't reach my tachlis, where somebody had the potential to be a great Talmud Chacham, where someone had the potential to be successful, and that shleimus is not materializing, that the Netziv says is defined as cherpa, as humiliation, as disgrace. Ubiyichud isha, and in particular the Netziv writes, by a woman, chisaron haylado, she feels that if she's not able to have a child, which from the very beginning of her existence was the experience that she was waiting for, that she was anticipating, that she felt created for. So the Netziv says, and she does not see the fulfillment of what she views as her tachlis, hula cherpa. It's humiliating, it's a disgrace. She feels very simply that she is an imperfect creature, an imperfect part of creation. And therefore, the result of this is, and it hurts me to talk about this, it was mentioned earlier, just in passing, but I've discussed this with many women in this situation, and men as well, who are sensitive and who understand. Many women can only reach one conclusion when they evaluate the reality of that matzav, of that state of being barren. Many women reach the single conclusion that makes most sense to them, which is, I'm unworthy. I am unworthy. And I've heard women who have told me, and they'll say, it's because of my aveiros. And I'll say, tell me, if you don't mind, I won't tell anybody else, tell me, what aveiro did you do? Look, I'm talking to someone that, you know, the Yiras Hashem is like dripping from her. Tell me, what was your big aveira? And every time, you know, every time, it's such a crazy thing. It's like when the Chayzer from Lublin went to Tashlich. You heard of the Chayzer, the Seer of Lublin? When he was coming back from Tashlich with a million chassidim, you know? So there was one chassid that was running to Tashlich, Rav Naftali Rabshitzer. And they stopped and he said, Rav Naftali, where are you going? Everybody's coming back from Tashlich with the Rebbe. Why are you going to Tashlich? He says, I want to go get the Rebbe's Aveiros. When I hear these women tell me of their Aveiros, and they say it with a capital I, and with their eyes down, Aveiros, this feeling of unworthiness, of my chatoim. Very often I've heard couples have come to talk to me and they've said, we didn't behave so properly before the chasana, and therefore Hashem has punished us in this way. And every time I hear that, I cry. When Sari Meinu When Sarimenu saw that Hagar is pregnant, this is not a long time ago in Chumash, right? When Sarimenu saw this, so you all remember, Vatekal Gevirta Be'eneha, that Hagar looked at Sarimenu, and Sarimenu felt this, that Hagar looked at her with mocking eyes. Rashi says, Amra, Hagar said, Sorai zu ein sisra kigiluya. She's not the tzaddikis that she looks like. She's not as holy as she makes herself appear. Mara atzma ki'ilu hi tzaddikis ve'ein tzaddikis. She creates this impression that she's some righteous, holy person. And she's not such a tzaddikis. V'haraya, and the proof is, Shalai zochsel heroyin kol hashon, that all of these years she hasn't been able to become pregnant. V'ani nesabarti mibiri shoyin, and I became immediately pregnant. Why did Rochel Imenu think that she was deserving of Esav HaRosha? Because a woman who is not conceiving, a woman who does not have a child, I have seen this all the time, it might take a long time till she admits it, feels that she is Esav-like. That there is something inherently wrong with who she is, what she's done, what she represents. There was a hair that one time came out of my tichel. There was the Lashon Hara that I enjoyed. There were the videos that I once watched and a book that I once read. V'chulu, all these are averus. And every woman like this either admits or doesn't admit she has an internal mysterious shopping list, which I have found very rarely contain d'araisas, averus from the Torah, most often drabonans, which I'm not taking lightly, but certainly do not qualify in terms of changing your status to an Esav and forgetting that Hashem is Baruch simply loves you and adores you as He does every Jew. You know, the Maral writes in Gurariyah a shocking thing. This parasha, take a look in the Gurariyah. You know the Rivka Imenu had a difficult pregnancy, yeah? Something was going on and she wasn't sure. Now her husband was a Navi. Her husband was a tzaddik. And you all know that she did not go speak. She did not go to her husband, the Navi, the prophet, for advice, to understand. And if you look at the Maral tells us because she was embarrassed and worried that it was because of some aveira that she did that she wasn't worthy of having a child with her husband, the tzaddik. And society, as was mentioned before, has traditionally portrayed the barren woman in that light. And even though we're Maminim, the children of Maminim, we're believers in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, many people have bought into this lie and to this distortion of Hashem's love. So even when you have, if someone is zeicha to have a loving husband, and the husband is also in pain, and the husband goes into that Gehenim together with his wife, he can't mamish be with her. He can never be with her. And this is the deep existential loneliness that a woman feels. We know this, and you all remember what happened with Chana, the mother of Shmuel Hanavi, and Elkanah. And everybody knows that ultimately, when her husband said, "Why do you cry? Why don't you eat? Why is your heart grieved?" Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You remember the pasuk? Why are you so sad? I love you. I have children from someone else. Why are you so sad? Aren't I better than you than 10 sons? And she's thinking, no! And she can't say it. Even though she loves him as well. And he was trying to be sympathetic, and he was the Gadol HaDor, he was the leader of a generation. And at that moment, Chana realized that the one person in the world who she thought really was with her, really understood her, didn't. Why are you so upset? We have each other. A woman has a monthly reminder that the man can never have. A woman has the intimacy and the disappointment of the bedikas, of what takes place between herself, only in front of the eyes of the master of the universe and no one else. And she can't run away from that monthly disappointment. And the pain is constantly revisited. Constantly revisited. So can you imagine the pain? And this was discussed. I'm just putting into the context of the sugya that we're learning. Could we measure the pain of a simple question like, so how many children do you have, Kanai Nahara? Or what yeshiva do your boys go to? What school do your girls go to? Or the friendly chatter of the women when they're together before a shiur, after the shiur? A mother-in-law making a statement like, I don't know, my other son's able to have children. And I'm not imagining scenarios. These are things that people have shared with me. The sensitivity of being asked to be a kvater, which on the one hand is officially some fantastic schooler, which I believe in. Look, I'm a simple guy. But sometimes the damage and the embarrassment outweighs the schooler effect. Was mentioned before, large family gatherings, events, celebrations. Every single second of being there is a reminder of what she doesn't have, of what she's not experiencing. Even if everybody's great and says the right thing and everybody knows exactly how to deal with this, and they went to all the seminars and explanations and they read all the eight-time literature, after everything, every second of being there is Im ayin meisa anoichi, I want to die. Emptiness and desolation. And every laugh of every child at the simcha is a reminder of the desolation. And on top of everything, one of the most horrible side effects of this matzav of infertility is the stress that it causes, the strain that it can cause between the husband and wife. That sof kol sof, they have each other. And one of the most tragic things and the greatest ironies is that here they have each other and they need to fill each other's universe. And dafka, because of the pressure that the treatments, that the humiliation, the embarrassment, and so on, because of all that it causes, it can create a distance between the two who so desperately need each other, and to find simchas achayim in that relationship. So all I have is my Elkanah. All I have is my Chana. And this too is besieged by problems. So this is just, Rabbi Isai, this is just the nekuda hapnimis of the ke'ev leiv, of the heartache of a couple, and particularly of the woman. And if you don't think about that, if you're not aware of it, if it's not part of your cognizance, you simply do not react in a proper way. Because even if you feel the pain, there's a strong likelihood you're going to botch up. But if you're insensitive to this, and it doesn't occupy a place in your mind and your heart, it's 1,000,000% going to happen on many occasions to the people you would never ever have dreamt that you hurt. Now, Chelek Beis. Why have children altogether? What's this whole Indian? What's the big hype about it? I've had people who've called me to say that they're depressed. They want to go to a center maybe for help. And what's the problem? So I have 6 children. They're healthy, thank God. In the course of conversation, it turns out that her sister-in-law has 7. And I say, you know what? You need to talk to a couple of other women that I know. And to thank the Rebbeinu Shlomo, to kiss his hands for giving you the brachas that you have. What's this whole Indian of Purvu Bechlal? It's so misunderstood. I've spoken about this in public. I recognize one couple that was there at this discussion many years ago, who I think was somewhat offended. And I ask for Mechila again. But it needs to be understood. Pru Urvu. Be fruitful and multiply. Have children. Milu Asaris Vikivshua. Fill the world and conquer it. What is this inyan? What is this business of Kibush Ha'ilam? What is the conquest of the world that's infinitely more significant than America's campaign in Afghanistan? What is the conquest of the world that the Torah is talking about? V'kivshuha. Now, usually I explain this in the course of an hour and a half, and I'm going to explain this in 10 minutes. Everybody knows that a world was created in such a way where creation itself was the greatest chilul Hashem. Because the word chilul comes from the word chalal, which means emptiness. And Hashem created a world so that we would have the choice to look for Him in the darkness and to choose meaningful lives. And therefore, Hashem created a world where He is hidden. And the point of man's life in this world is to reveal God's presence everywhere, every moment. And to remove the veil that hides and conceals Him. To fill the world with God's presence. And I always tell a story that I heard about the great tzaddik, the Ahavas Yisrael from Vizhnitz, who was called the Ahavas Yisrael, his seif is the Ahavas Yisrael, because he loved Jews. Now the tzaddik, the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, came to a certain town, and the whole city came in their Shabbos clothing, men, women, and children, to greet the tzaddik. It was a huge crowd, pushing and shoving to be able to get near the Rebbe. And all of a sudden, the crowd parted because there was one Jew who nobody wanted to be near. He was a terribly unkempt and obese fellow who children would make fun of and so on. And therefore, he moved. The whole Olam made a Kriyas Yamsa for him to get through. They moved over for this guy. Nobody wanted to be near him. So at that moment, it happened to be handy. It came in handy for him that he was able to get right up to the tzaddik. And the Ahavas Yisrael, the vision of Rebbe, looked at him and saw all of his pain. 50 years worth of pain. 50 years worth of being mocked and ridiculed. And the vision of Rebbe ran over to him and kissed him and said, "Ach, hashtik yid, a piece of a Jew." And he was a very large fellow. He moved over a little bit more. He says, "Nachashtik yid, another piece of a Jew." And he moved over a little bit more. He says, Nachash Dik Yid, another piece of a Jew. Every time a child is born, it's Nachash Dik Yid. The meaning of another Jew in the world is only this, Rabbi Yisai, and it's so often forgotten by people who are conducting their fashion shows up and down the avenue. The purpose of having a Jewish child is this, and this alone: to bring more godliness into the world. Zehu. To reveal more of the Rabbi Shalom's presence in this world. And that is the conquest of the world. And that's how the Tzaddik Reb Naftali Rabshitzer explains in Zerah Kodesh, the brachas of the Torah, that will multiply the stars and the sand. What is the bracha of quantity? It's something that our people don't seem to care so much about. What is the bracha of numbers? And the Rebbe of Naftali Rabshitzer says that the bracha is not stam, nochayid. What does it mean? Another child, another person to reject, to ignore God, another human being to bring more emptiness to the world, another human being who will contribute to the darkness, chas v'sholem. The bracha of having children is that. Is one thing. Nochashtik yid means nochashtik elokus. It means another piece of godliness in the world. Another one who's going to say maidani. Another one who's going to say baruch atah Hashem. Another one who's going to learn Chumash Rashi. Another one who's going to say over a blat gemara. Another one who's going to proclaim like Avraham Avinu vayikra shom b'shem Hashem kel olam. There's a master of the universe. And the way this takes place is when you produce a child, not just biologically, but when you have a child and you raise him in a way which is hevet daimelo, that he resembles his creator. He resembles him. Hashem is compassionate, and so is your child. Hashem visits the sick, and so does your child. Hashem is infinitely sensitive, and so is your child. Therefore, the Bnei Yisrael taught us the following. And it's the yisoid that you have to carry with your entire life. In Derech Pekudecha, the Tzaddik writes the following. He's defining the mitzvah of Puruvu, having children. And the Bnei Soscha writes that this mitzvah is defined as this: Lifrais v'lirbais b'tayra. The Ikka mitzvah, the essential mitzvah, is to learn more and more Tayra, to bring out in your life more and more godliness, in your life to reveal more godliness. Lahoilid b'chol pan. Sichli is chadoshus b'tayra. Each and every day of your life to understand more about Hashem, to speak more about Him, to proclaim more and more of His presence in the world. And this mitzvah can be fulfilled by every Jew, not only someone who is married, not only someone who has children, even someone who is not blessed with children, or someone who wasn't even married, who wasn't even Zaychev HaShidduch, which is a separate discussion. Why? Hu ha'ikah peruvu la'adam the Bnei Soscha taught. This is the essence of the mitzvah of having children. Rak she'Hashem Yisbarach tzivonu la'hoilad gam begashmias. Ella, Hashem Yisbarach said, there is a way that it's easier to facilitate the revelation of my presence, because now not only can you say brachas and learn, not only can you become a greater Jew, but you can have others in your family that you can raise them that way as well. So therefore, by virtue of the numbers, there's going to be more elokus, more godliness. Now let's come back to Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik. Listen carefully. Are you with me? All right? I mean, I'm screaming. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's with me. You're there? I don't have my glasses, so I don't see anyone. Listen to these words of Rabbi Yosher Ber. As long as motherhood, like fatherhood, was rooted in biological facticity, its confine was very narrow and extended only to a clan. One can experience biological motherhood only in respect to one's own child. As long as motherhood was seen and is seen as something which is simply purely biological. There's a husband and wife, and now there's someone else. So it could only remain, Rabbi Yosef Ben says, in a tiny, small-knit clan, in that little world of the family. This changed with the appearance of Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu, who became the parents of humanity, and of the Jewish people Befrat, in particular. Sarah replaced Chava, Eve. Eve was the mother of all life. Chava was the mother of all life. Sarah, the mother of nations and kings. Chava's motherhood consisted in giving life, in a natural sense, to her child. Her motherhood was a result of biological pressure. Sarah's was due to a great vision, to a new mission she took on. She and all the souls they acquired, they made in Choron. Children, pupils, formed a covenantal community. The woman herself rose from a receptive to an active role. These are the words of Rabbi Yosef Ben. Do we understand now the reaction of Yaakov Avinu when Rochel Imenu was saying that if I don't have children, my life is worthless. Im ayin meis anochi, I am nothing. I am nothing. Word Rochel Imenu didn't understand. And this was Yaakov Avinu's passionate response. That any woman who doesn't have children, any couple doesn't have children, winces and retreats at Yaakov Avinu's apparent insensitivity. Chas v'shalom. How could you talk that way? So Yaakov Avinu's reaction is now understood. Roch, you don't understand what Puravu means. You don't understand the mitzvah. There's a famous Baal HaKedah that I'm sure you've all heard of. And if not, it's a shame that no one's told it to you. Or that you haven't seen it. But the HaKedah's Yitzchak is Yaduah is known. And I'm only reminding you of that which you should have learned. The Baal HaKedah explains that it's not a Rachmanis. And that's what Yaakov Avinu was telling Rochel Imenu. Because the HaKedah explains that two names were given to Chava, to the first woman, to indicate that there are two roles of the woman. First, Chava, which means she's a life giver, which is what Rabbi Yosef Ben was talking about, the biological giver of life, motherhood, biological motherhood. That is one name given to the woman. Chava, the Eim Kol Chai, the mother of life. And she's also called the Isha, the woman. And woman means the intellectual, the spiritual, the emotional, the one who gives life and who nurtures. I'm going to explain more about that in a minute, what that means. And in that respect, she parallels the Ish, the man. Therefore, what Yaakov Avinu was saying to Rochel Imenu is, I'm not angry at you. Chas v'chalil, I'm not angry at you. But I must fight against your despair. I must fight against the word that you said, that your life is worthless, that you're nothing, and you belong with Esav, not with me. I must fight against that mistaken understanding of what? Of the mitzvah of having children. That's not what the grandmother stood for. That's not what Sarah Imenu meant. So Yaakov Avinu was angry with Rachel because she surrendered to the ayinness. She surrendered to a feeling of being disgusting and being nothing and blaming herself. Because she looks at herself in such a way. If I can't be Chava, then I'm not an Isha. If I'm not the mother of life, then I'm not a woman. And if that's the case, I might as well die. Because it means the undermining of my reason to exist. And what it says in the Novi Yeshayi, which the Akedah brings down, Va'al yoimar hasaris, heinani eitz yovesh. The one who can't have children should not say that what? That I'm a dried up tree that can't bear fruit. Hashem says, I will give the one who is barren a name that is better than sons and daughters. It says in the Navi, Al yoimar hasuris hein ani eitz yavesh. Don't say that you're worthless. Don't think that you're Esav. Let not the barren proclaim, I am but a dried out tree. There's no question at all that Yaakov Avinu was the greatest empathizer of all. There's no question that he was with Rachel Imenu. But he rejects her approach to the mitzvah of Puravu. He rejects her looking at herself as being a Rachmanis. This is what he rejects. Because what Yaakov Avinu was saying is that ultimately that role of being the Isha, of being the woman, is something that obviously Hashem Yisbarach taught our mothers. Because our mothers went through this state of akaris, it's true, of barrenness, it's true, that ultimately they brought children to the world. But if they went through that period in order that the Jewish people should be a people, it means that the deepest chelik of those human beings, the deepest ability to produce themselves, as the B'nai Sosa said, more lukus, noch hashtik yid, to be able to give life to countless others. Moral and spiritual beings whose lives are meaningful, are filled with meaning. And this goes for the woman who hasn't yet become part of a shidduch also. And Rachel Imenu till the end of time is able to cry for all lonely mothers who are waiting for their children to come home. And for all mothers who are waiting to have children. Rachel Imenu is lying on the road, Derech Beis Lechem, still crying. That's because she knows what it means. And she feels the pain of being without children and of waiting for a child to come home. And every woman knows that she too experiences this. And this is the Avla. This is what causes me infinite pain. That in from society, even though many people are now more advanced and more enlightened than the past, we have maintained to a large extent this portrayal of the Isha as having only one means of escaping nothingness. And that is by what? By having children. And if not for that, she's a Rachmanis. She's a Rachmanis. She is nothing. And therefore she will be viewed in a condescending way, which is unbearable at times. It might provide some comfort for a minute, but in the larger picture, the condescending approach is terribly damaging. Not that it's meant by anybody, Chalila. But I'll tell you, the truth is, and I'm afraid to say this, I have seen this keseder. Hashem is Baruch should grant each and every one of our children and each and every Jew of Hashem's children only good health and nachas. But I have seen that either parents who have children who are chalila not well, either physically or emotionally, or people who are not blessed with children, are oftentimes infinitely deeper, more sensitive, more giving, more in touch, more nurturing, more mothering, more feminine, and more womanly than many of the women who are parading up and down Kenai Nahara with their troops, who could so easily fall into shallowness and believe that they fulfilled their role and their destiny because they're biological producers. I have 6, my sister-in-law has 7. We're neck and neck. And dressing them up like little dolls. And forgetting that the reason that you have them and the reason God gave them to you is that they should resemble Him. That they should be like Him. That they should be pure and holy. That they should be sensitive and deep. They shouldn't be shallow and empty shells. So the woman who thinks that she's fulfilling her mitzvah of Purovu because she's a biological producer, she's a mother, has made the greatest mistake of all. Our imahos were forced to be sensitive. Our imahos were forced to be great spiritual, moral beings. They were forced into that place by the master of the world. And so are you, if that's your destiny, if that's your fate, if that's your mazel. So are you. Because the Baruch Shalom has to work something out through you. And I know it sounds also condescending. Forgive me, be meichel me. Because it's certainly easier for a father of children to get up and lecture people who don't have. And if it were me, I would bury myself. I'd be so broken. And I want to end, I want to share with you a Be'er Ma'im Chaim. But I can't say the whole thing to you. You have to learn it in Parshas Noach. Reb Chaim Chenevitz, so what a Torah in Parshas Noach. On the Pasuk Vati Sara Akar, you look in the Be'er Ma'im Chaim. It's Al Pi Kabbalah. But we believe. We're Jews and we believe. And we receive from the Tzaddikim true Torahs. Because after all of the Torah that I just said, so you could go away thinking the following. Shkoyach. Sari Yumeinu was a maker of souls. If I would be a Sari Yumeinu, I would manage too. No, I'd be alright. I'd deal with the disappointment. I would be the mother of kings and nations. I'd be alright. But I ain't no Sari. And I haven't given birth to any nation of kings or princes. And because I get up for work. Listen to this. Here's a translation of this paragraph, a part of the paragraph into English, from the Be'er Ma'im Chaim. It's very hard to translate. Listen carefully. It takes mamish a minute. I probably went way over my thing. I'm sorry. The Rebbe, the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, says we have to understand if in halacha a woman is not commanded to have children, only the man, but sof kol sof, the pasuk says that Hashem told both of them to have kids. I mean, it says in Chumash. It says God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So the Rebbe, the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, says this. Indeed, there are two kinds of birth. One in the material world, meaning physical sons and daughters, like what Rabbi Yashaber was talking about, to increase their offspring like the dust of the earth because God created the world to inhabit. To be inhabited. The second type of birth is giving birth to souls in the upper world through mitzvahs and good deeds. Listen to this. From which come the souls of converts and Balei Tshuva. According to that Rizal, it's an astounding teaching. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of this. According to that Rizal, and every word of that Rizal is Tyrus, Moshe, Mamish. That Rizal said that men and women, a husband and wife, can have biological children. But even a husband and wife don't always produce a child. We saw Dr. Grazi explain to us, it's not always going to work. But the Rebbe, the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, says that the Arizal taught that any time a Jew does a mitzvah, and in particular where there's a loving relationship between a husband and wife, as he explains, and there's shalom bayis, and they're together, and they love each other, and they live in a way of peace, and of Torah, and of love, and they do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Not sorry, man, not saving the universe. In your own quiet little world. Every single time, the Arizal taught that you do something that's right, you implant a seed into the heart of a potential Baal Tshuva and a potential convert, which awakens the fire of seeking God within that heart. And because of you, that person is able to do tshuva or to convert, to become a Jew. You hear that? That's where the Balei Tshuva come from. I've often thought about the 6 million who were killed and whose lives weren't finished and were not allowed to speak about these things. But the Balei Tshuva that we have in our generation are not coming from emptiness. Chazal tell us that when the Beis HaMikdash was being built, you know that it was built miraculously. And you know that there was a special worm, whatever that was, the Shamir, that was carving the stones. And you also know, and I'm just repeating the Chazal because this came to my head to end with this. You know that it happened once, that there was a stone that was carved by the Shamir that didn't fit. It was always the next stone, and it didn't fit. So the builders looked at this stone and they tried them as geitnish. It wasn't going. So they had some sort of a pile where they kept rubbish, where they kept garbage. And they took this boulder, this rock, and they threw it into the garbage. And about that rock, David HaMelech said, Evan Ma'asu HaBoinim, this is the rock that was rejected by the builders. And then when it came to the day when the Beis HaMikdash was finally ready to be finished, and there was only one stone that was missing for the whole universe to be fixed, for heaven and earth to touch, for all of reality to be uplifted, to be brought back to its root and source in creation. And they couldn't find, there was no stone that would fit that last empty space. So somebody said, you know, maybe, could it be, you remember back then, there was the one that was thrown into the pile. Maybe, could it be? And they took that stone, and Evan Ma'asu HaBoinim, Ha'isa L'Rosh Pina, this became the cornerstone of the entire universe. And that's what David HaMelech said about himself. Evan Ma'asu HaBoinim, Ha'isa L'Rosh Pina. This is a brach that comes from the heart of a Jew who tries to understand what you're going through. And I give it to you from the very essence of who I am. Believe and trust and know that David HaMelech himself is going to take you out from that pile. That David HaMelech himself is going to reveal that through those Yidden, through those Jews who were put on the side, the Charachmanis, Evan Ma'asu HaBoinim, that from those Jews is Davka Ha'isa L'Rosh Pina, is the cornerstone of all creation. And therefore, take strength and courage these last few minutes before Mashiach comes. And those of you who are here to understand how to help and how to talk and how to deal with it, refer and seek out the advice of the wonderful people you've met and others that they'll refer to you. But refer very deeply to your own hearts, your own neshamas, and believe that something very magnificent is being worked out in a world that we can't see with our eyes. Remember it, cherish and honor the people who are part of it. And we should be zeichim et Hashem to be there all together on that day when Hashem is going to show all the Bali Tshuva and all of the converts, the Geirim, that you created with your Ahavas Hashem and with your mitzvahs and your Ma'asim Tovim. We should be zeichim v'sechazen einenu b'shuva Hashem l'tzin b'rachamim b'gula ha'shleim v'ha'amitis b'mehem yomenu amen v'amen.